This is Invest Talk, above average investing for the average investor. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, here's KPP President, Money Manager, Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of Invest Talk. It's November 11, 2014, a couple of weeks before my favorite holiday, Thanksgiving. Welcome to our Tuesday edition, everybody. This is Invest Talk. We're here every day, every weekday, Monday through Friday, 4 to 5, live on the West Coast. We focus on investing, but that's not the only piece of the puzzle there is. Managing your money is a mix of skills, and it can try your patience and your nerves. Now, as you go along, I hope you will think of Invest Talk, this show, as a resource ready to help you with any kind of questions you might have regarding money. And I'm not saying I have all the answers. I just want to help any way I can. Maybe I can direct you towards someone who has the answers. And the lines are open right now. If you're listening to us between the times 4 and 5 Pacific time, we can have a conversation. But you can call anytime you want, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And we always try to answer the questions you leave on our machine on the next program. And we pick up a little, you know, there are some listeners that when they call and respond, they have certain stocks that they have, you know, and I talk to them, and they call and I respond with, you know, it's a great company, but you have too much of it. See, one of the biggest concerns I have out there is everybody is over-concentrating your portfolio. Now, see, you can be a genius when you over-concentrate your portfolio. You can get lucky and that just takes off and you have only a few stocks and just on three of the five take off and they quadruple and sextuple and 10 times and you feel like you're a genius. But if you're managing the risk of the portfolio and you're trying to grow your portfolio reasonably, you don't have that kind of concentration. As you know, I've said before on the show many times, we buy 3% typically of any one position, sometimes 5%. And then we rebalance as time goes on if that particular position gets too heavy in a portfolio. And this is part of managing the overall structure of the portfolio. So if you're wrong, or if I'm wrong, I don't want to be wrong by a deal. I don't want to be wrong by 50%, you know, or 30%, or 20%. Excuse me. You don't want to be wrong, you know, on a whole part. If you have a whole overall portfolio, generally speaking, you won't be wrong by a great deal. Now, of course, the market could make you wrong. It could collapse, and you could be fully invested no matter what you own. It could go down. You know, you go down or up with the market. But there's ways to hedge even against that. We've talked about that on the air. So I just hope that you understand that there's a whole range of skills you need to develop a good diversified portfolio. And the same concern for a company that you work for that you own their stock. They give you cheap stock or free stock, whatever it is. You still don't want to over-concentrate in the one stock, no matter how good the company is. There was a point when Enron was the sixth largest utility in the country, very solid company, been around for years and years and years and years, and it still went under. And those people who held on to the Enron stock and their 401ks lost all their money, all their retirement money. You don't want to do that. So even your own company stock, you have to be reasonable about it. So maybe it's time to take a closer look at your portfolio. Coming to the near the end of the year, we got to look at tax consequences of what we're doing. Try to mitigate any taxes that you may have incurred. And that's what we try to do within the year. So what are the questions on your mind? What do you want to talk about? You want to talk about a strategy? Do you have a plan or do you have a strategy? Are you just reacting to the market? What are you doing? Are you chasing returns, trying to do that? Let's talk about it. Let's go to James in New York. How are you doing, James?
I'm good, Steve. How are you tonight?
I'm doing good. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, always. Thank you much. I have a question about GE. I have 75 shares of GE, and I'm getting tired of it. I want to replace it. I don't really feel like anything much exciting has happened with GE in a bit. And I'm looking into this stock RIG, R-I-G, as a potential replacement. Well, my concern is I've heard you say repeatedly that if a stock has too high of a dividend percentage, then there's something wrong with it. And I don't know if that's the case with RIG necessarily, okay, but I thought maybe of replacing it with that, some shares of RIG.
Okay. RIG, Transocean, is paying a 10.4% dividend yield, and this is where your issues are. This year, 2014, it's going to make $4.63, which is pretty good. It's a $28 stock. 10% of 28 is $2.80, and it's going to make $4.63, right? So it can afford it. Next year, they're going to make $2.67. 10% of $28 share is $2.80, and they're only making $2.67. So they had, that is a payout ratio over 100%. They might be able to do that 1 year, 2 years, because they have cash and they could do it, you know, out of their savings. But that's generally a recipe for a dividend reduction. So don't fall in love with that dividend unless RIG turns around. And RIG's not going to turn around unless oil prices go back up, because RIG is a driller, offshore driller. They're a driller. So that's why their earnings are going to go down so sharply next year. We have an oversupply of oil, and the companies are starting to say, well, let's cut back on our drilling. And, of course, who would that affect? Transocean and other drillers. So that's not that it's a really low-priced stock at this point. P.E. ratio is only like 6. But next year, remember, it's going to be $2.67. So that means that next year's P.E., if it stays the same, is like 11 or 12. So
would you say that maybe it's a buy? It's a smart buy at that price?
Well, it looks like it's trying to find a bottom. It's been a month that it's at this bottom. James, I'd probably wait a little bit longer to see if the oil prices start to stabilize. The price of an oil is what you want to watch on this. If the oil prices stabilize here at the low high 70s, then this is the bottom for RIG, and it might be a good entry point. Okay, but I think you need to wait and watch oil prices for a month or so. Let's just see if they hold, because if they keep falling, right, they keep falling, that's going to hurt more and more on these on the drillers. It will just hurt them more. Okay.
Absolutely.
Thanks, James. Appreciate the call. Shareholders need to accurately determine a company's true profit. So, how do you measure a company's value to its shareholders? When you buy a stock of a company, you're a shareholder, you own the company, how do you measure the value? That's one of our talking points we're going to discuss today. Low mortgage rates is attracting more and more first-time buyers. It's a good sign. We'll talk about that. And there's been some surveys on this shopping season that I want to share with you, some statistics on surveys about what shoppers are going to do. I think they're interesting. And we've talked about 529 programs, you know, for college savings, and each state sponsors its own 529 program. And Morningstar did a study as to which ones they think, this is Morningstar now, are the best. The best at the top four, the second top four, they rate them like their gold-rated plans, and then their silver-rated plans. And they rated these plans, and I'll talk a little bit about how they rated them, what they used, and which states and which companies offer, companies meaning mutual fund companies basically, offers the best plans. That's what we're going to discuss today. But of course, we're going to discuss what's on your mind first, what do you want to talk about. The market actually was up today, but boy, oh boy, it's kind of hard to say it's up when the Dow is up 1 point, the NASDAQ up 9, and the S&P up 2. And it was fluttering but down below the line and up above the line most of the day. It was nothing. The market just seems to be hesitating and creeping up slowly. It's trying to make a new high, and actually did. And the area that has not yet done that is the small companies represented by the Russell 2000. It's still pretty much below. Okay, it's Russell 2000 at 1179 today, and its high is right around 1220. I can give you the high closing high for the Russell 2000, and that closing high was on July 3rd at 1208, and it's 1179. So it's 29 points away, and it's 1179. So it's still got a ways to go. It's got like 2 or 3 more percent to get to that top. Okay, whereas the S&P and the Dow have exceeded their highs, and they're up maybe 5 to 8%. I haven't done the math, so I don't know for sure for the year. And that's interesting, is the volume is getting less and less and less on these creeping up highs. So that's, I think we're going to have a rally at the end of the year. It doesn't surprise me that it won't surprise me. And maybe even into next year. That's also possible. So, you know, we've been moving into the market, been trying to take advantage of that. It's just, it's not an easy path that the market's taking, because it's very, very slow, low volume. A 403B plan is a retirement plan for certain public school employees, employees of tax-exempt organizations, and ministers. If you have one of those plans, maybe you have a question about it. We're here for you at 888-99-CHART.
Now, more Invest Talk. Bring your money questions to Steve. Whether it's about investing or a living trust, Steve is here for you right now at 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. What's on your mind? What do you want to talk about? I'll discuss whatever comes to you, or whatever you feel like discussing. How about how a company creates value for its shareholders? And you've heard of these terms: gross margins, operating margins, net margins. Do you know the difference between those things? Well, gross margins is the percentage of revenue a company gets after paying for the cost of the goods sold. And for a manufacturing company, it's pretty simple. How much does it cost to make that thing? Now, that's gross margins. But what is operating margins? Well, operating margins the same as gross margin, but operating margins includes costs like marketing and depreciation. That's what they use. They include that, where gross margin doesn't include costs for marketing and depreciation. And net margins is even simpler. That is the percentage of revenue a company gets to keep after paying all business-related expenses, all the costs. How much do they get to put in their pocket? What's the net margin on that widget they sold? How much net profit margin did you get? And you always look for increasing margins. That's really what you like to see, increasing. This is what you do not like to see, shrinking margins. Because if their margins are shrinking, either the costs are going up or competition is coming in, they have to lower the price of the good or service that they're selling. Something's going on when the margins are shrinking. And that's a little bit more nerve-wracking. You don't want that in a company that you own. Unless it's just temporary, and then you can live with it. But if it's not, you really got to understand what's going on there, okay? Not only can you listen to us on your own terms, anytime, any place, you can also get your questions to us whenever it's convenient on our 24-hour listener line. Call 888-99-CHART.
You're listening to our podcast produced 5 days a week, and we thank you for being here. Also, if you like a professional review of your retirement portfolio, even though you may live out of range of our California offices, it can still be done using email, fax, and phone. To begin the process, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Schedule a Meeting heading under Steve's picture, and someone will get right back to you. We continue now with Invest Talk, and you're invited to bring any money question to Steve right now, 888-99-CHART.
Now, don't hesitate to call us with your questions or share your investing experience. I'd love to talk to you. Tell us about the mix in your portfolio, any of those things. 888-99-CHART. You can reach us anytime you want. Paul called from San Francisco.
Hey, I have a rollover IRA, and I was comparing the Roth IRA and the regular IRA, and it said something about the profit that you make within the IRA is taxed in a regular IRA, but in a Roth it's not. I'm a little confused with that, if you could kind of explain that.
There's a Roth IRA, a Roth 401k, and a regular IRA and a regular 401k. Okay. In a regular traditional IRA and 401k, you're putting money in there before tax. In other words, whatever you put in there, you get to deduct it from your adjusted gross income when you do your tax return. So you never have to pay income tax on that money going into the IRA. This is the regular IRA, regular 401k. But when you retire, you have to pay tax on every dime you pull out of that. So all the growth over the years, you put in $5,000, it grows to $20,000, you're going to pay taxes on the whole $20,000 when you take it out at retirement. In a Roth, it's just the opposite. You put money in a Roth after taxes. You pay income tax on it the year you earn it. But now once it's in there, all the growth, it goes from $5,000 to $20,000. And in retirement, you take it out, you take out the whole $20,000, there's no taxes on it. None. Zero. So they're not on a Roth, none of the growth is ever taxed. You never have income tax on it, as the law stands today. So it's one of the reasons why I say, well, I like a Roth a lot better for young people, because the growth, you have a lot longer for it to grow. But statistically, I don't know if there is a tremendous amount of difference, because you know, when you do it, you know, when you do a regular IRA, you get to put a whole thing in there, and the money that you're putting in there wasn't taxed in the first place. So do you let that money grow, or do you reduce the amount by the tax? See, it's really a kind of a tough question. But if you're going to ask me, I would say, well, the younger you are, probably I prefer the Roth. That would be what I would say. Okay? Just kind of interesting. Good question, though. Very good question. Have you noticed the low interest rates, low mortgage rates? Mortgage rates, what, bottom last May, June last year, and then kept steadily rising, slowly. And then just recently, you know, the recent month or two or three, they fell sharply again. Okay, back to their lows. Now, this was because the dollar spiked, when the dollar spikes, foreigners look at our bonds and they say, oh, those are really attractive, because their money is getting less, is becoming less value, and our dollar is becoming more value. So not only do they get the U.S. Treasury bond of 2% or 3%, they might get another 5% increase because of the dollar increase when they transfer it back into their currency. There's a boost. So that drives down interest rates here in the United States. So now we're back down to low mortgage rates. And on top of that, the new rules are going to allow 3% down payments, which I don't think is a very good idea. But there's been a very tight mortgage market. And this has caused new buyers to be kind of shy. You haven't seen a lot of new buyers coming into the market since the recovery of the housing. There are very few new buyers. There's investment buyers and there's move-up buyers, but brand new people coming into the market has been very, very low. Well, if they loosen up the rules, which apparently they are, this might attract those new buyers back into the market. And let's hope we don't go through another cycle we just went through. All right, 3% down. You know, what's next? No down? Have you heard that before? Oh, we'll lend you more money than the property's worth? What do you think caused the last problem? That kind of thinking. So I'm hoping they're not too loose with their standards, because it would be kind of foolish. I mean, here we are. We're just now trying to exit, and property values have gone up. And housing has slowed a little bit this year, but it's not bad. You know, you just if you don't have 20% down, maybe it's not the wisest thing to buy a house. Maybe bankers is not the wisest thing for you to loan money to people that don't have some skin in the game. Is 3% enough skin in the game? You know, 3% down? I don't think so. Houses go up and down 3% pretty easy. You can lose all your equity in a heartbeat, and so could the bank. So I just don't think it's a wise thing. In the long run, it's not a wise thing. I want to get people in houses, but you got to do it where it makes sense financially, economically, for both parties and the economy. It's got to make sense. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. You can call me anytime. You can call me anytime, leave a message, and we'd love to talk to you. And remember, it's free, so you have no excuse to miss our Wealth Workshop webinar coming up this Wednesday. By the way, that's tomorrow. November 12th at 6:30 Pacific time. Tomorrow. Sign up for free on investtalk.com. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley, and I'm here to answer any of your money questions you might have. 888-99-CHART.
What makes a stock fit into a certain category like emerging markets? Or what's your question? Why not ask it now at 888-99-CHART on InvestTalk. This is the Tuesday, November 11th edition of Invest Talk with Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley. Once you determine what will give you peace of mind in retirement, it's important, of course, to know how to get there financially. A retirement prep checklist. That's our talking point on the next Invest Talk. Please join us then. And there's still plenty of time to get in touch. 888-99-CHART is how to reach Steve today on Invest Talk.
888-992-4278. Let's talk to Richard in San Mateo. How you doing, Richard?
Hi, Steve. I'm good, thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Hey, thank you. Yeah, it's a great show. I was wondering if you can kind of point me in the right direction. I just changed jobs and got some money from a pension plan that I need to roll over.
Yes.
Now, is a Roth IRA an option for that kind of money?
No, it's probably only, well, let me rephrase that. Yes, you can roll it into a Roth, but it may be a taxable event on all the money. In other words, it's going to be added to your adjusted gross income. You've got to pay income tax on it. Usually that's what the money from a pension plan is. But if you roll it into a regular IRA, it won't be added to your adjusted gross income, and there'll be no taxes paid on it.
So you'd
probably want to roll it into a regular IRA.
Okay. And that makes sense. All right, as a follow up, would you be a little bit nervous plunking it all down at these levels? Or
I would. Yes, I would. I'd probably take a more of a dollar cost average approach, and then if the market did fall. If the market did fall, then I invested faster. Because I think the market has retraced a 10% correction in like 2 weeks. That's very unusual. Usually the market falls like an elevator going down, but then goes up like stair steps, slowly coming back up. And that didn't happen this time.
Right.
That makes me a little bit nervous. That doesn't mean you don't want to be in the market, because I do think you'll have a rally here and rally. I just don't know how robust it's going to be, and I think you'll have a rally. So I'm just trying to play both sides. The probability is you're going to have a rally into the year, but you could have another 10% correction again too. I just don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, it seems very volatile still.
Yes, it is.
So I don't. think it's made up its mind.
Thank you for the call, Richard, but that's exactly how I think about it. It doesn't look like it's made up its mind, because even the rally has been on less volume every day. Less volume, less people buying, less pressure on the upside, but it's still creeping up. But it may continue to do that. You just never know. And what is dollar cost averaging? It means investing a certain amount every week or every 2 weeks. Just put a certain amount. If you have a lump sum that you want to get in the market, do it over time. Same amount over a time period. That way, if the market does go down, you buy things at cheaper prices. But you just keep buying it. It's time for InvestTalk 101. Do mutual funds have a style? Do mutual funds have a style? And the answer is yes. Every mutual fund has an investment objective that is also referred to as style. Okay, and what does that mean? It's an indicator of investment quality of what kind of things they are investing in. Okay, it could be large cap, small, that's a style. Large cap growth, that's a style. Small cap growth, that's a style. Balanced. Those are all styles with their objectives specifically spelled out. And it does reduce some of their flexibility because they have to stay within their, what we call the perspective, which is their plan, what they say they're going to do. They have to stay within that plan. Okay, and they file that plan with the SEC. That plan is, you know, rock solid. They can change the plan, but then they have to notify you, all the mutual fund holders. So different mutual funds with different investment objectives provide a variety of investment risk, return, different opportunities, different types of equities, bonds. It could be anything. It could be sector funds. It could be, you know, it could be commodities, anything. Depends on their style. And then, of course, each one has its own set of risk and rewards there. You can build a portfolio of different kinds of mutual funds to get you to the type of portfolio you want to hold on to. And that's InvestTalk 101. If you have questions about categorizing mutual funds, give me a call. Let's talk about it. You can also look into the topic in a lot more detail at investopedia.com. And if you're looking for funds, you're looking for styles, morningstarter.com is probably the best source on the internet. 888-99-CHARTER is our number, and ready for your call right now.
401k plans are expensive for employers. They have to be carefully monitored. There are many administration functions that have to be provided. There is a solution for employers that gives them lots of good reasons to assign their fiduciary responsibilities and some of that liability over to a third party. If you would like to explore something better, go to investtalk.com and click on Contact Justin for the 401k solution.
888-99-CHARLIE. Let's talk to BJ in Fremont. How are you doing, BJ?
I'm doing good, Steve. I love your show, and thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I have a question about two factors. One is oil, and another is international mutual funds.
Okay.
First, in the oil, can you suggest, because it's currently quite beaten down, what is the best way to enter and basically start accumulating at this point the stocks or the areas related to oil?
Well,
and international fund, I think dollar is very strong.
Yes.
What is your view on that?
Okay, two very good questions. Let's talk about oil. Oil prices have been below $80 a barrel. How low is it going to go? I don't believe it's going to go much lower. I think this is an area in the mid-70s is the lowest it's going to get. But some people believe it could go into the 60s. There's a lot of people that. But how do you take advantage of low oil? If you think it's as low as it's going to go, my first preference would probably be large integrated oil companies like, you know, ExxonMobil, Chevron, British Petroleum, those big guys. Because why do I like that? Because they're integrated. They go from drilling to refining to selling to the public. And so they have different parts of their business that can make money. And if the oil is very low cost drilling, well, they can slow down the drilling, but that means low cost to the refinery and low cost to the client, so they can still maintain a profit margin in there. They still can do it. Where if you do just drillers or something specific, then you got a problem. If oil prices start to go back up, I like the fracking companies. I think they're going to still do well. Now, as far as international, because the dollar is so strong, as the dollar is strong, foreign corporations don't look very attractive to us. And try to remember, when we have a lot of our own companies selling products internationally, their profit's going to get squeezed. Because the dollar is so high, they're going to have trouble selling high-priced dollar-based items to Europe and Asia and other places. So think about that's tough for the big companies. If the dollar starts to weaken, starts to go back down, that will help those big international companies and hurt foreigners. But as the dollar is strong, it actually helps foreign companies who sell to us, right? It helps them right now. So those are the companies you might want to think about. And then you got the offshoring factor. If you're going to buy a European company and it sells a lot of stuff to Europe and us, well, their Europe looks like it's going to recession. So it's kind of a conflicting kind of thing. You just got to be very, very careful. Thanks, BJ. I appreciate the call. Good question. Okay, how about the best 529 programs? I get this question all the time. Where's a good 529 program? Where should I go? Well, Morningstar names 529 college saving plans for 2014. And they base it on five key factors: the process, the performance, the people involved in the mutual funds, and just different factors. They came up with the top four they call their gold rated names. And the first one is the Maryland College Investment Plan out of Maryland. That's number one. The program is manager is T. Rowe Price. Okay, and then the second one is in Arkansas, another T. Rowe Price. That's number two. Number three is Nevada, the Vanguard 529 College Savings Plan. And then number four is Utah Educational Savings Plan. Those are the top four. The next four is Ohio, Virginia, Michigan, and another Virginia plan. See, now each one of these have different sponsors. So they say, okay, so the first one in Ohio is the Ohio Tuition Trust Authority, who manages the plan. They think that's up there. The next one is American Funds in Virginia. And then Virginia is also number four, but that's the Virginia College Savings Plan. It's a different plan in Virginia. Interesting, huh? And Michigan is the TIAA Tuition and Financing Plan. That's the sponsor of the plan. So those are the top, and this is coming out of Morningstar. And there were 32 neutral ratings. Which, why would you even bother with those? Why don't you stick with the top ones? And they had maybe 15 or so of bronze, which is the third tier, but I've just given you the top two, which to me makes a sense. That's where you want to concentrate your efforts. And by the way, on InvestOut.com, you'll see a big blue box with each day's talking point topic featured. That's the topic and description. And if it's after the day's program, you can click on the Play Now button on our website and hear the program played back whenever you're ready.
A quick reminder, if there's a term that you hear mentioned on the program but you're unclear about what it means or you have a question about it, we want you to ask. It's very likely that you're not the only one with that same question. 888-99-CHART.
Hi, guys. Great show. I listen to you on Stitcher Radio online. I was wondering what you think of Freeport MacMoran at these levels. The symbol is FCX. I appreciate it, and I'll listen to you on podcasts. Thanks.
Okay, Freeport Mac Moran, mining metals, ores, engaged exploration development of copper, gold, silver, molybdenum mines in Indonesia, North and South America. It's $11 stock. I'm sorry, it's a $28.43 stock with 11 PE. It's going to make $2.17 this year after making $2.72 last year and $3.36 the year before and $4.94 before the year before that. So you can see earnings are going down, down, down. Next year, it's going to rise by 7% to $2.33. So what is $2.33 worth and the stock whose sales have finally bottomed and profits finally bottomed and maybe turn around? That's really what you're asking. The five-year PE range is 5 to 15. And if you take the middle of that, which is 10, and it's a $2.33 earnings next year, that's a $23.30 stock, and it's at 28 now. At this point, I don't see a lot of reasons to buy it except for the dividend, 4.4%, and that is going to be maintained. I don't see a problem with that. Mutual funds own 41%, and they actually have been slowly buying. That's a positive, this thing. Management owns 3% of the stock, so that's the positive. It's fallen from like $39 all the way down to $28 in 5 months or so since July. Now the question is it done falling? That's really what you're asking. Is it done falling? And it is very possible. This could be the bottom. On a recent low, what you could do if you wanted to buy this stock, you would use the recent low as your get-out point, okay? If it falls below that low, you just get out. And I'm talking about recent. When I say recent, I'm talking about November 5th. November 5th, the low was $27.10, and today it's at $28.43. Breaks below $27.10, you just got to get out. You don't know where it's going to go, how far further down. So if you're going to buy it, this is where you could take a test, tease at it right here, and hold that stop if it drops below that. Now, some of the problems you have with these kind of stocks, and every stock, what if it gaps down? What if it gaps down 10% one day or 20%? That's happened. It happens or not. It's not unusual. Then you gap below your stop, and you're stuck. Now you have to decide, why sell it now at this gap low, and that you just have to make those kinds of decisions. It's always interesting, is it not? That's why you never take two mentors at the beginning of the show. At the top of the hour, I said, we like to buy only 3% of a stock or 5% of a stock of your overall portfolio, no more than 5. Because if it does stuff like that, and if you own 30 stocks, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Gap down on you. You had an out, and now you're stuck. You don't want to sell at the very bottom. Maybe it'll bounce up a little bit. You try to manage that. And if you had too much of that one stock, you could see how painful it would be. When we come back, we're going to talk about the survey, shopping survey for this holiday season. Why not ask questions? You've been saving up, everybody. You've got a good 10 minutes left. We're online. We're open. 888-99-CHART. You can call us right now. 888-992-4278.
Thanks for subscribing to our podcast. A reminder to register now for our Wealth Workshop webinar coming up tomorrow night at 6:30 p.m. Pacific Time. We have a detailed checklist for lining up your portfolio for a comfortable retirement. You can register now for free on investtalk.com. How do college savings plans work? Which one is best? Or how do I dial up the risk in my portfolio to improve performance? Some of the topics on tap for this Wednesday's Wealth Workshop webinar. That's tomorrow evening at 6:30 p.m. Pacific Time. You can sign up. It's free on investtalk.com. Do it now if you'd like. And now let's get back to Steve and your questions. 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Let's talk to Manu in San Francisco. How are you doing, Manu?
Hey, Yeah, I'm doing great. I'm great shows to you. I normally listen on podcasts or, you know, online.
Thank you.
So I have a question about Priceline.
Okay.
Priceline, the symbol is PCLN.
Right.
I saw a big update today.
Yes.
So I would like to know where the stock is going.
Sure.
Okay?
It was up $47.34 today to $1,167. So it's a high price stock as far as just absolute price. Is the value there, though? Well, it has a 22 PE, and the average range for the 5 years is 14 to 35 PE. It's going to make $61.80 next year after making $52.59 this year. So this is, what, 20% or so? Sales have been growing about 25% or more a quarter, so it deserves a higher price. Looking at a chart, and that's really what he wants to know, where it's going to go. I think it's right. Remember, it's today at $11.67, up $47 a day. I think it's going to have a hard time breaking above 1,200 in the short term. 1,200. Why? Well, because it's done that. It's been that is where a lot of what we call resistance is. Late in October, they went to that price and fell down. And back in September, it was at that price and then below it, came back up to it, fell down. And there's a lot of resistance in June and July around that price. To break through that $1,200 barrier, it's going to be hard. So I think that's probably where it's going to go. 1167 to about 1200. 1195, 1200, 1205, somewhere in there. If the market falls, if the market corrects, this stock will correct with it. So if the market continues to act like it's been acting, it should continue up. But don't expect it to go, you know, 1500, 2000. No, probably not. Probably not going there. Not this cycle, anyways. So let's talk about this sales survey. Thank you, Manu, for calling, by the way. Appreciate that. 68% of surveyed shoppers say they will be making most of their holiday gift purchases before Black Friday. 68% of people say they're going to make their holiday gift purchases before Black Friday. That's the thing. That's the day after Thanksgiving. So almost 70%. Almost 40% of the survey shoppers had already made holiday gift purchases. And this was on the 5th of November. Okay. Over 3/4 of the survey shoppers plan to shop online for the holidays. So online is becoming more and more and more popular, which we all knew that. Also, another 75% of shoppers believe they will stick to their holiday shopping budget. That's pretty hard to do. That's a difficult thing to do. And 7% of the survey shoppers say they don't care about coupons or promotional offers. That means 93% do care about coupons and promotional offerings. So there's a huge, you know, if you're a retailer, you know, that has to come across your mind. I got to do something to attract these buyers. Kind of interesting survey. Give you an idea what's going on out there. So most people are going to shop, have all their shopping done before Black Friday. 7/3 of people are going to be shopping online. And everybody likes coupons and discounts. Yeah, I could have told you that, right? Let's go to Jay. He wants to talk about British Petroleum. How do you do, Jay?
Hi, Steve. Steve, I wanted to know if BP is a good buy at this price.
Okay, British Petroleum is one of the large international oil companies. And is it a good buy? It's awful cheap. Let me put it that way. It seems to be a pretty reasonable price. It's going to make $4.13 next year after making $4.24 this year. So it's going to go down 3%. But it's a $41 stock. So if you get a 10 PE, it's $41. So, you know, and that's where the PE is now. That seems to be pretty reasonable. And you're getting a 5.7% dividend. So if it breaks below 40, you might want to get out. So you can test it here. And, of course, it's going to be subject to oil prices. You know it is. Is oil prices stabilizing or not? I think it's too early to tell right now. Before we close for the hour, a reminder to register now for our Wealth Workshop webinar coming up tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. Pacific Time. We have a detailed checklist for lining up your portfolio for a comfortable retirement, and you can register for free on InvestTalk.com. It's InvestTalk with two T's. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley, and on behalf of Justin Klein, everyone at KPP Financial, we thank you for listening, and we hope you'll join us again on the next InvestTalk.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.